from the desk below. Welcome back from the Desk of Low. I have with me one of my most favorite rappers. He's one of my most favorite groups ever. I recently got a chance to interview Heavenraiser. So it's only right that I reach out to the other members of the Sons of Man collective. So without further introductions, I have the legendary, the one and only, Prodigal Son.
Peace, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very good, sir. How are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. You know, always can be doing better.
Yeah, well, you know, we're alive and we're breathing, sir, so that it always could be worse, sir.
It's a blessing, exactly.
So, sir, I grew up to you. I was born in 1991, so I was very in tune of Sons of Man as I got older, too. I actually found y'all gents through the weirdest way. I was bumping the Renaissance Child CD, and my older cousin came in, and he said, yo, you bumping Sons of Man? I'm like, no, I'm bumping Heavenraiser. And he's like, yo, you know he's in a group that's a branch off of the Wu-Tang called Sons of Man? And I was like, really? Yes. And then he handed me the CD, The Last Shall Be First. And it was on after
right, too.
I was curious, Prodigal Son, too. How was it growing up in Brooklyn, sir?
It was rough, you know, at the end of the day. But, you know, like any other place, I survived, man. We survived, you know. Take the good with the bad.
Well, and then...
You know, you make the best out of it. But, you know, it was fun, too. It was a lot of fun, you know. A lot of creativity. A lot of crime, a lot of everything in the neighborhoods. But, you know, all that was used as strengths, you know what I'm saying? And that came out through the music. So you can see that in the music right there. That's the background. The music is the background to the environment, you know what I'm saying? Of how we grew up and what we experienced and what we came through, you know, to actually get to where we are now. So yeah, it was crazy good, love, you know what I'm saying, hell, peace, you know what I'm saying? You can't really explain, you know, but I can tell you that, you know, I have no regrets. At the end of the day.
Because it all makes you who you are today.
That's right.
You're very big on healthy eating, too. Did you learn that at a very young age, sir?
Yep, I sure did. You know, because, you know, I came from the nation of gods and earth, so it was always about being mentally and physically clean, you know what I'm saying? And spiritually, you know, in that aspect. And, you know, what you put in your body, you know, has an effect on your body, you know, so I learned that early in, you know, what to put past your safeguard, your mouth is your safeguard, you know what I'm saying, and once you put something past that and it's not right, the body will show the results, you know, so you gotta become your own doctor, man, you know, at an early age, because, you know, we grew up in the ghetto, and we get the worst of foods, you know, so you see people dying at a young age from diabetes, and all these different things like that. And, you know, people die young from heart attacks. And, you know, it's all based on the food and things that we eat and the way you treat your body. So, I've definitely been disciplined on that for a while since I was younger, you know. But you are what you eat.
Have you ever thought about writing a spirituality book, sir?
Yeah, well, that's in the process. I definitely thought of that, you know, and when the time is right, I think it'll present itself, you know. But as of right now, I'm just writing my books through my music.
Ah, I like that. I like
that. Mm-hmm. This particular album that that we got out that I just executive produced and put together is, an example of that. The Rebirth, Sons of Man Rebirth.
And you know what? I was bumping that earlier today. I didn't skip one track. I love that album.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Worked my butt off with the crew,
And nobody lost a step. Nobody lost a step at all.
Mm-hmm.
Even the way that you guys... Oh, go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Pardon me.
Oh, no, pardon me, sir. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Man, it's in our heart. Nah, no worries. It's in our heart, man. I know it's in my heart. And some of the songs that I had captured, like, the KP verses and the different things from Razor, I orchestrated it from the ground up and built music around everything because it's all live. The majority of the tracks with my producer, DJ B Original, my boy Salvi One, and his brother Mike Arkeke, LTD Productions, there's three major producers, and then I had one other guy, the Todd, it's Sounds. So, it's pretty much, I know our sound, and my brothers trusted me to do it, so I put it, we did it. 60 went in and did his part and killed it. Razor did his part, and we all showed up, at the end of the day, as the fans need it,
Or they've been asking for it, too.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I did it. I did it for me and the crew and the legacy and the fans, because they are relentless. They will not give up. Where is the Sons of Man album coming? What's up? Pete, you're prodigal, man. I see you got 2 fly albums out right now. Come on, man. Get a Sons of Man record together, man. I put my heart into it, The legacy got to continue, man. Especially with everything going on with my brothers right now in the Wu-Tang world.
Yeah, 25th anniversary.
And this is our 21st anniversary. We legal.
Sir, you shared a very inspirational, because I've been a fan of you for years, so I've been paying attention for years. You shared a very inspirational story about how you used to hear your parents play Earth, Wind, and Fire late at night, and then later on in your life, you got to collaborate with them. That's a beautiful story, sir.
That was super blessings, man. That's something that's monumental in my life to this day, to be able to perform and record a song with your parents' greats.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And to be able to call my mom and say, I'm over here with, Philip Belly and, Maurice White. We in the studio. Da-da-da-da. And she's like, what? You better get a picture of y'all. it was a blessing, man. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Sons of Man. The interview was incredible. But Philip Belly, he was just like, how did y'all come together on this situation? And he was like, man, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Sons of Man, they dealing with the elements, They're like a younger version of us with the science and the music. And, I was like, wow, that's a blessing, man. He did an interview back in the day on E! With in the studio with them. And it was good to hear that, man. These guys are legends, icons. And from my parents listening to them, and it grew me to love their sound. So to actually, be in the studio and actually manifest that, 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, it was a blessing, man. Anything like that is a blessing.
And you're a very humbled soul, sir, because if anybody would have collaborated with Earth, Wind, and Fire, they would be the most cockiest person on Earth, too. But you're very humbled about it.
Yeah, man. You know, we all musicians doing what we love, man. You know, I respect them and, you know, honor their style. And, you know, honor what they did for music, you know. They came at a time when we didn't come. So they opened up doors that we couldn't open. We wasn't here to open. You know, they opened up doors for us at the end of the day, whether it be R&B or whatever style of music across the board. And, you know, in the industry, it was still considered black music. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be hip-hop, R&B, you know, whatever it may have been. So, you know, they helped break that, they broke the code. You know, they went over. You know, they had all types of fans from all different worlds. You know, and it broke the color barrier. You know, so it's the same thing with Sons of Men, you know. Our music is for the people, you know. And no matter what color you are.
And that's how music should be made, too, for the people, too. Because that's why I love Sons of Man in particular so much, too, because it stands for something.
Right. You know, yeah. It's just definitely about growth, change, and evolution. The continuous cycle of life. You know, that's every day. Movement and change. That's all life really is.
That's very true. From my understanding, sir, your original stage name was Sons of Man before Prodigal Son?
Yeah, well, my original name was Son of Man.
Oh, Son of Man.
O-S-M-A, yep. And, once, you know, we sat down and, you know, we all gathered and was, you know, writing every day in the studio. Well, basically at my crib in Manhattan and, you know, basements and different things like that. You know, man, we was really into reading the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, you know, the Surah Pegasus, the Apocalypse. We was reading all type of literature and history, you know, studying. And, you know, Killer Priest, we was talking, he was like, Prodigal Son, that's an old name right there. And I was like, yeah, I like that. You know, the story was similar to my life, you know, how I was, you know, out young, early age, you know, taking care of myself. And, you know, realizing that the most important thing, you know, at the end of everything is, you know, yourself and family, you know. That's the key. So, that's the story of the Prodigal Son. You know, he went out, you know, at 16 years old, younger age, told his pops, hey, listen, I don't want to sit around here. I want to go out and live my life, you know. And he gave all his riches. And he went out and blew all his riches. But then he realized within that, you know, he had to return home because the foundation is there. And he realized that, you know, you can't do it without family, man, at the end of the day. So he humbled himself. Yeah. And that's everybody in life, man. You always got to come back to the foundation, start from scratch, when you learn something new, you know?
Were you very family-oriented growing up, Prodigal Son?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, much as I could be. But, you know, I was wild growing up, man, you know. You know, I've been on my own since 14, 15, so, you know.
But
really,
but it makes who you are today.
I made my family. Yeah. Exactly, but, you know.
But you're one of those people who live life to the fullest and have memories only people would kill to have, too. Like, I was curious, too, on who the first member you ever met from Sons of Man, was it Priest, was it Razor, was it Shabazz? I was curious, sir.
Well, the first person I met was Killer Priest.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Killer Priest, if I'm not mistaken. Within the Sons.
Okay.
Yep.
And then I was curious if you could share the story on how Sons of Man formed, sir, just for the new generation so they can understand, sir.
Well, basically, you know, Sons of Man formed back, you know, through in the early days of Wu-Tang, when, you know, RZA was doing the 36 Chambers. You know, they had Wu-Tang Records, and pretty much Lee 60, Razor, Shabazz. You know, we all complement each other's styles and music, you know, and I had a situation over at Global Terrain Records, which later became Penalty Records. Rest in peace to my brother Mel Ice, who was the A&R. You know, he had set up a deal early in for Sons of Man to do a demo deal, because at the time, you know, before we became Sons of Man, you know, we was in different little segments, you know. Evan Razor was, you know, he was in a group with Seven Ambassador, and they was called The Last Future, you know, and Shabazz and Killer Priest was the Disciples, and then, you know, me, Killer Priest, and 62nd, we became the Arts of War. You know, it was a whole little situation until we all tied it in and said, you know what? I took the name Prodigal Son, and I spelled it in my own unique way, S-U-N-N, and we became the Sons of Men. You know, I threw the Z up on the Sun. We always have a thing with Z's. And instead of the S, you know, it's the Sun. It's like, you know, instead of S-O-N, it's S-U-N-N. You know, and we pretty much came together, man, because at that time, our music was more on a spiritual, you know, historical, you know, political, you know, it was that voice at the time, and, you know, so we went in the studio from the little situation that I had set up, well, after the situation that was set up, we had a little demo offer with Kevin Powers over at Capitol, I think, back then.
Okay.
And it was like a situation where we go on the studio and record the songs, and then, you know, it was a demo type situation that Philip Priest's cousin had brought to the table. Rest in peace, brother named Kevin. And from there, RZA heard what was going on, and he came to the session. I was like, yo, I got Wu-Tang Records, man. You're getting ready to go hard. I want to bring y'all over here, you know. And from there, it was history maker, you know. First group to sign the Wu-Tang Records, besides Wu-Tang.
Wow.
It's been history since then.
Mm-hmm. During that time, too, sir, did you guys had an unreleased album titled Nothing New Under the Sun. Did that eventually become the last Shelby First, sir?
No, that was completely different.
Oh, it was?
Shelby First. Yeah, that was completely different. Ain't Nothing New Under the Sun was basically like a little EP. It was an album that we never finished. But then we put out the four songs, you know, Soldiers of Darkness, Five Rock Angels, No Love Without Hate. And then I think like an extended version of Five Rock Angels or one of those songs.
Is that Bloody Choices? Like a little...
When I came later on, this was like in the first beginning.
Okay.
When we came with the white label. Yeah, this was the first song we dropped before we did The Last Shall Be First. Was Soldiers of Darkness, Five Rock Angels, and No Love Without Hate. And that was independently the first three songs that Wu-Tang Records dropped on us to create the buzz. And it was a buzz, it was.
Yeah,
and then, you know, then we was working on that album with Wu-Tang Records, Ain't Nothing New Under the Sun. And then Wu-Tang got picked up by Priority, and we was in that deal, but at the time, that's when Red Ant came with an offer, you know, through the situation that took place with RZA and Killer Priest. You know, we pretty much had the same contract as Wu-Tang, where we could sign as a group, and then each individual can go off and do a solo. As you saw, Killer Priest was already doing Sign the Geffen.
Yes, so, with Heavy Mental, yes.
Yes, so that was the plan, but, you know, things don't always work out the way you want them to, but, you know, I had to, you know, expand out from there, take the brand somewhere else, to acting, film, music, you know, music scoring, soundtracks, placements, you know, and I've just been carrying the name with me all the time, you know, Prodigal Son for Sons of Man.
Is it true that Old Dirty Bastard gave you your first mainstream placement on Protect Your Neck Part 2, sir?
That was my first debut.
Oh, wow.
Yes, sir.
You killed that verse. I love that.
Yeah, we was having fun that night in the studio. Sean King. Yeah, he was all off that ginseng wine.
Rest in peace, Dirk McGirt, one of the greats to ever do it.
Yeah, man, rest in peace to my brother. Bless him dearly.
I was wondering if you
could take...
The world definitely does, sir. The world hasn't been the same since old DB left us. I was wondering if you can take me back to that session, Ken, because I understand you had a very personal friendship with him.
Oh, yeah, we was in there, particularly when Dirty was on the first album. You know, he had the studio booked out, so we would always be over there, because in those days, you know, the studio would be locked down for a month, you know, to get the album done. So, you know, whatever days Dirty wasn't in there, Sons of Man would go in there and get a little session on. You know what I'm saying? It was basically, you know, a word, Dirty ain't here, you'll get the engineer, let's lay something, you know. And that particular night, we was all in there. I remember we was drinking, and it was like 3-4 in the morning, you know, drinking some ginseng wine and doing martial arts, you know, just, we was doing all type of stuff. The strap tests with the hands, the palms and all that. And so that's why that energy in the room was like that. It was just like we was on the block, and then they put the mic up and turned the beat on, and everything that you hear on that track is authentic. From the organ and the screaming in the beginning of the track, that was no acting. That was real.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. All that, everything you heard on those tracks, man, it wasn't no, like, yo, you go in there and say this. It was somebody happened to be in the control room and heard it going, yo, press record. And that was it.
And that makes some of the best. Well, that makes some of the best things come out, too, when it's not planned.
100%, you know, in the moment.
I understand that you have your own company called God's Inc. Is that still around, sir?
Yeah, I still have God's Inc., but, I had that for years, and then I basically, started my entertainment multimedia solution company the last, I said, 5 years. Sun Entertainment Group, Multimedia Solution.
Okay.
And that's pretty much, that's what's executive producing this album right here, you know, it's the Rebirth. You know, that's, you know, me with Cleopatra, Sony, Orchid. And, music, film, and television. And, you know, also consulting artists, musicians, actors, you know, helping them build a brand, you know. I've been doing that for a long time. That's pretty much some of my transition over to where I'm at in Hollywood, you know, film, you know, acting, things of that nature.
Well, speaking of acting, too, you actually appeared in HBO Sex and the City.
Yes, sir. That was one of my main major acting debuts. It was the first episode that broke the color barrier, that's for sure. And, at the time, the show was receiving, views and comments for not having any multiculturalization on the show. So I was on the first episode with black people.
Wow, you broke the color. Wow. And, mm-hmm. and that's a piece of history right there, too.
Oh, yeah. And it's a lot of things that I'm a part of in history, man. I just know I'm here to do what I'm here to do, you know. So, like you said, I don't super excited, you know, because I don't know. I can't really explain it. But, you know, my whole career, when I look back, you know, it's always the person to be the person to do that, you know. Went to France, did the song with I Am, you know, we want to. French Grammy, you know, biggest hip-hop collaboration between French and American besides Guru and MC Solo. They went to Germany with DJ Tomic, me and Jizza, won the Viva TV Award. Germany was number one in hip-hop. Before that, France was number one. You know, I like to do stuff that is new. You know, I'm not afraid to venture and venture out.
Okay.
You know.
I was curious on the first.
I just recently did a remix with the rock band Hollywood Undead for a song called Whatever It Takes. Oh. Yeah, big rock band. Yeah, so we did a remix song, me, a guy named Demrick, and another MC entity named Fudge. Oh. So that's out right there. We dropped it last 420, last year 420. You know, it's hip hop rock. It's got a lot of hits on YouTube. So, oh. Yeah, I like to mix it up. You know, that's the best way to be. That's how you expand and expand your brand.
Well, and then too, stepping out of your comfort zone too could be one of the most best things that you can ever do in your life.
Yeah, that's you know, try to practice that every day. You know, that's how you grow. You stay too comfortable that you can't evolve and learn anything new. You know,
one of my most favorite things by you is your solo career too. When I listen to The Spark. When I listen to tracks like Legendary, All Is Fair, or even my most favorite is Trials of Life, too. What inspired that album?
Oh,
for
thank
me?
You.
Oh, you're most welcome, sir. I was going to say that's my joint right there, Trials of Life.
yeah, that's dope. Well, you know, what inspired it was, you know, a time for it needing to be done, you know. And plus, you know, the fans. There's always the fans. You know, hit me in the DM and different places like, yo, what happened to the Swarm, man? This thing, man. Anybody gonna do anything like that again? Yo, peace out. If anybody can do it, you can do it. Yo, what's up? You know, and originally I was gonna put the album out, you know, just for a little mixtape. But then I started working on it. And then I started looking at it in another aspect like, you know what? I just need to put this out as an album, you know, spark the people back up. Let them know that this style is still here. You haven't heard from me, but I haven't changed. But I have. You know what I'm saying? As far as my formula and my style. You know, I grew. But I, you know, and I changed, you know, naturally as evolving. But as far as my style and my gift is still there. You know, it's not washed out. It's ready. At any given time. You know, because I appreciate my gift. And my gifts, you know what I'm saying? So they give me the best.
And I like how you said, too, you appreciate that, too. Because most people, after, let's say, like 10 years, they would be tired of it, too. But you're 21 years in and still going hard, too. Like, that just shows the passion for it, too, as well.
Yeah, man, you know. You gotta, you know, use what you was given, man. And the best of your ability, you know, so... I do my best, you know, to stay grateful, man, because, you know, you're not promised tomorrow or the next breath.
Yes.
You know, so you got to make the best out of what you have and grow from there, you know. So, yeah, I guess it's saving my life, you know what I'm saying? So you definitely learn to appreciate it when it goes to that degree and extent.
Yes.
You know, to save your life, then you really like, you know what, man, I got to show you love, man, make sure I treat you right. You know, even when you're still learning and growing in this industry, you know, you don't let that take you away from your gift. Your gift is yours. They can't take that. You know, they might can mess up paperwork or do whatever they do, you know, for certain deals that make, you know, artists may get screwed over or whatever, but you can always rebuild, start from scratch, let everything go, and start new. Your gift going to give you what you need.
That's very true. Your gift is going to give you what you need.
That's right. Yeah.
Would you consider Prodigal Son Meets DJ Premier a mixtape or just a street project, sir?
I call it a street tape. That's what I called it.
Okay.
You know, it's basically me picking out all my favorite Premier songs, and it was basically like a dedication, an honor to DJ Premier.
Okay. I was going to say, yeah, because like some of those beats were for other people, though. But when I heard you spin over those all those years ago, I'm like, wow, these beats, they were, made for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because, you know what? Those beats, I always loved it. So it was always in my dialect. So I knew exactly how I would kill it if I was on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I still respect, you know, to those that did it. Before me, you know, but I just had to borrow it real quick.
I was gonna say, I don't think anyone can mess with that, too. I was like, DJ Premier, you need to haul that Prodigal Son, man, because he's killing it on those.
Yeah, Kamir, my man. You know, every time I see Kamir, what's up? Got some Southern man? You know, I haven't seen him in a minute, but we're going to connect because this next record I'm about to do, I'm about to turn the heat up.
Okay.
You know, I got to turn it up. Yeah, the next one after this rebirth, I'm going all out. You know what I'm saying? It's called Water Under the Bridge.
And this is your solo or another Sons of Man, sir?
No, this is another solo. You know, The Redeemed is out right now.
That's
my last one that I dropped December 11th. But now, you know, my goal is to, you know, keep one in the chamber every year. You know what I'm saying? Just to build up and, you know, get these new fans out here. I'm gaining new fans. They're listening, you know. Fans listen to words. It's coming back to lyrics.
Yes.
You know, so I want to be the... right in that crowd or with the new generation, you know. Yeah, that's Pete Son right there. He's dropping that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
And that Redeemed, too. That Redeemed, like, songs like The Takeoff or Home of the Braveheart, too, or even Kings County. I was like, damn, yo, this is what hip-hop should sound like.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
You're most welcome.
I really appreciate that because that's my overall goal. Just, you know, give my best. And I like to make it sound as, you know, detailed and cinematic as possible. You know, it's like you're looking at a movie that you can press pause on and come back to, or just listen, look at the whole movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's the same way I did the Rebirth album. It's like a movie. You know, you can feel the cinema in it, the emotions, the heart, you know. We came from the era of the 444. You know, the 448, you know, the hard self chakras, when you got to sit down and listen, it sits you down because of what's being said through the music, you know, like Marvin Gaye, you know, Curtis Mayfield, you know, you dancing, but you really inside the song. And that's the type of, you know, music I like to make, where you can actually get inside of it.
And that's the way...
experiencing yourself.
And that's the way how music mm-hmm. should be made, too. It makes you reflect and actually sits you down and makes you pay attention to the actual lyrics as opposed to just listening to the beat. Because I'm a person who listens to the lyrics.
Right. Me too. You know, growing up, listening to, you know, hip-hop, Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, KRS-One, Public Enemy, you know, all the way down to the Last Poets and different people. You know, I listen to the lyrics, you know, because I already knew that was in me, you know. I paid attention as a child and analyzed, and, you know, so that's why my writing is in that way, pictorial, you know, try to write pictures.
I was curious, too, on the longest song that ever took you to complete, too. Like, you really took your time on it, too. Or you never really spent that much on a song before, like, let's say a month for it, or even a week.
Oh, I spend time on songs.
Okay.
I spend time on songs. Sometimes I might, you know, go in the studio and write something right there. But when it comes to my album, you know, I take my time. You know, I take the song home. I listen to it in my car, my room, you know, my iPod. I travel with the track, you know, and I take care of everything that I'm looking at around me in my environment, wherever I may be. You never know when you might capture something that relates to what you're writing to in the moment, you know. So, yeah, 'cause it could take me up to one day, up to 2-3 months. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Depending on what to say, yeah, you know. Because sometimes, you know, now if I sit down and focus, it'll take me a couple of days. But, you know, I have a schedule that I do besides music. So I put that time aside for that. But, you know, like this Rebirth album, I started in October. You know, I went everything live. You know, built me and my producers. We built tracks around vocals. You know, some things, you know, we had, some things we didn't. And we made it a musical masterpiece. But it took me from October till February to complete that record. You know? So I put a lot of time into it because I know that it was coming off of The Last Shall Be First. It's never going to be The Last Shall Be First, but it still can give you a feel of inspiration you know, something from that album of what's happening right there today, something new for you. You know what I'm saying?
And you guys
new
came.
Elements.
And you guys came back at the most perfect time too, because the underground and lyrics is at an all-time high right now, and no one better way to come back with a Sons of Man Rebirth album.
Yeah, man. The title and all, you know. It's always in the times and where it's needed, man. You know. That's the blessing. I heard that twice. I heard that when we dropped the Spark. I heard the same words. You know, this came at a perfect time, man. We needed this, you know. And, you know, I put Redeemed out because, like, people were still, you know, salivating over the Spark.
Yeah.
And then when I came with Redeemed, people caught on, and they still catching on now. Like, you know, people, that album was pretty much all of me. You know, the last album was more like a family album with me down the middle, bringing all my brothers, you know, together. You know what I'm saying? To show the world that, hey, we still family, we still got this, you know, ain't nobody can touch this style over here, you know what I'm saying? It's our style, you know, and they edge and stone, so. And Redeem is more of a, you know, it was an album of redemption, man, you know, letting go of the old and making space for the new, and looking back at all the things that I experienced in my life, you know, the trials and tribulations up to date, but what got me there, and, you know, the sacrifices of letting go, and starting new. It's an everyday thing, you know. So the only way you can do that is redeem yourself, you know.
Wow.
You got to redeem yourself. You redeem yourself, but you have to forgive yourself for all this shit and all this stuff. And you have to forgive others. You can't forgive others until you forgive yourself. Because all the choices we make in life, it points back to us. Whether we was fooled or so you was fooled out, somebody fooled you, or you know, you wasn't paying attention, you know. It always resorts back to self. So I learned that a long time ago. So
wow.
So when you point the finger, it's three fingers pointing back at you. So it makes you three times responsible for what's taking place. Wow. You should have knew.
I'm gonna go back and re-listen to that Redeemed album too, and I'll have a lot more appreciation for that too, because what you just shared with me now too, this is why I love when artists do interviews and they talk about their bodies of work, because it gives the listeners a more appreciation for the art and what goes into it.
Exactly, man. That's exactly how it's supposed to be. You know, yeah, I play it on through your blogs, on the radio, you talk to the artists, and you hear what it's about. You know, they get a chance to see that, yo, oh, wow, this ain't something you just do together. This is hard body and mind, blood, sweat, and tears. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything is in there. Yeah, so, you know, it's real stuff. People can relate to that. Everybody got a heart, whether they, you know.
Yes.
Whether they use it or not, it's still there.
That's true. That's very true. It's still there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so.
Do you know how...
Right now, it's a lot of...
Sorry. Keep going, sir.
No, I was just going to say, you know, it's a lot of hate in the world spewing right now. So,
yes.
You know, I'm trying to bring the love back now, you know, because right now it's much needed. The vibrations is down, you know. You see all these mass shootings and kids getting shot, innocent people getting shot, just at the grocery line buying their groceries. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, you know, so.
Yeah.
You really got to watch what you're doing, man, and pay attention. Because, you know, like I said, it's dangerous times. So.
And it's also.
Hopefully this music can help.
Well. And it's also all about the energy that you put into the universe. If you put out good universe, that's what you're going to receive back. It may not come right away, but it will at some point in time.
Exactly. But you know, right now, I think it's an imbalance in the world.
Yes.
So much more negative you see than positive. So
that's a fact.
Even when you put it out in the universe, like you said, it may take a while, you know, but you got to have faith in what you're doing. You know, believe in yourself. Believe in what, you know, you gotta believe in yourself. If you don't, nobody else will. You know, so you gotta put that energy behind things that you do. And you gotta be aware. You can't go for the okey doke. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you don't get caught up when you know the situation of what's taking place right now in the world. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's crazy. You know, we grew up in the days we grew up in, but this right here is like, it's ridiculous.
This is
like,
something
else. You can't
else.
Turn away from it. Yeah, you can't turn away. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. It's on your computer. It's on your TV. It's in the store. It's everywhere.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, so it created the perfect virus. Yeah,
well, I'm very glad that there's people like you in this world who spreads positive energy, because honestly, sir, that's what the world needs. That's what the world needs in this world. People like Prodigal Son.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. And you too, brother, because you've given me the platform to actually explain it. I wouldn't be here if you didn't listen and accept that type of music. You know what I'm saying? So it's always, that's why I say we do it for the people, man. Because that's the equality right there. That's the balance. What you put in is what you'll get back. And if you're putting positive out, like you said, you get it back. You know, it might not be when you want it, but it'll come. Just keep doing your part. You know?
So, yeah.
It ain't never when you want it. You know,
yeah.
You got to do what you need to get what you want, man. That's the golden rule right there.
That's
you
great.
Know? Not do what you want and try to get what you need. You got to do what you need, and you'll get what you want. You know?
That's very true. That's very true. Prodigal Son, I won't take up most of your time. I have two more questions for you, sir, and then I'll let you go.
No problem. Thanks.
No worries, sir. With you having an extensive history within this game, too, have you ever thought about putting together a Prodigal Son or even a Sons of Man documentary detailing the little things that the fans may not know?
Yeah, we plan to do that. Right now, my brother Hellraiser has a documentary that I've been working on, helping him with,
yes,
called
sir.
Bison.
Oh,
and that particular documentary. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was called Risen. No, I thought it was called Risen, the Sharon Smith story.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, you can pronounce it Risen or Risen, you know, Risen, Risen. Yeah, you just spelled it with a little slang.
Oh, okay.
I call it Risen, you know what I'm saying? Because he went from being on top, number one, loved, still loved, and, you know, having an accident, and now getting back on his feet, back to the top of the mountain. You know, so he rising again.
Oh.
You know, and he has risen. So it can be both.
And
that particular project we're working on, and I'm sure we'll get something in the future with that. Of course, I would love to. You know, I'm working basically now on putting together some workshops. You know, start educating. You know, on a seminar platform, and you know, basically letting people know, artists, you know. The success artists, man. You know, proper management, you know. Are you solid on your guide, your views, your visions? Are you sure about what you're doing? You know, things of that nature. You know, just the basics of what an artist should know. You know, and pretty much move forward. If it ain't in you, then you're stuck. Just from those type of questions being asked in the beginning, will save you a lot of time if you're really not serious about what you're doing. You know, that's the thing. You know, that's what destroy a lot of artists. Man, you know, they get to the point where they think they made it and we got it, and then something happened, and then you know they're not prepared. You know, to get back on their feet, because you know it's about what somebody else did. You know, at the end of the day, it's about what you did first to get you in that situation. Yeah. So. That question you asked, yeah, I'll definitely, we definitely gonna have something like that probably in the near future. Right now, we just focus on, you know, getting that sound back out in the master wave, you know, getting on the streaming sites, because, you know, it's the first record, I think, that will be on the streaming sites for Sons of Man. You know, we came in vinyl and CD ever, so.
Yes.
So units. Now it's a different ball game, so. you know, had to get amongst the youth, you know. Still fresh and young, still running, tracking, exercising and training, looking good, feeling good, you know. Let the race continue.
Well, I want to say, Prodigal Son, you dropped many, many gems during this interview, sir. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. But before I let you go, sir, this is a question that I ask all of my guests. And the reason why I ask this question is, we're all unique individuals who have our own way of dealing with distance, too. And I think you're the perfect person to ask this question to. Do you have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
Well, my first thing would be to tell them, you know, surround yourself with love, you know, and continuously look for the love within yourself now. If somebody is in that dark place, you know, look at the things that make you happy, you know, the people that make you happy. And surround yourself with love. You know, that's the only way to come out of a dark place. You know, love is the elevation of understanding. And we all are love within. Sometimes you just got to be reminded that, you know, because we all be in dark places, man. We live in the dark times. So you definitely got to have that love around you and that positivity around you, you know, to spark you back up when you're in a dark place. Support that, you know. And I will say also, for yourself, ask yourself why you are in that dark place and get to the root of the problem of what got you there. But start with yourself first and start the correction from there, because nobody's responsible for you but you at the end of the day. So stay positive, man. That's it. You know, from darkness came to light, baby. You know?
Yes. Well, I hope somebody...
Anybody, within the darkness, there is a light, you know, it's in there. Within that darkness, there's a little small, tiny thing of light. Within the light, there's a small speck of darkness, man. So, you know, just look for that light if you're in the dark, baby, and it's inside of you. So, all that I can tell a person in that place is that, you know, you got to say you love yourself, man.
I love that answer. You know? That's a phenomenal answer, Prodigal Son. Surround yourself with love, too. That's why I love when... I hope somebody who really looks up to you hears that and it can help them out with that, too, sir. Because that's why I started this podcast, too. To just for somebody to hear some inspirational things and help them, sir. Because I was in a dark place before. But I pulled myself out of that by, you know what? By doing what you just said.
That's right, man. And that's beautiful, brother. I'm glad you did. Because I'm grateful to be talking to you. And I appreciate you bringing me on the show and letting me express and promote and let the world know that, you know, Sons of Man, Prodigal Son, you know, 60-Second Assassin, Hellraiser, Killer Priest, the whole team, man, you know. We love the fans. We love the people. We love what we do, you know. And we definitely going to continue to shine that light, man, and through the darkness, you know.
Yes.
You got to.
And I recommend anybody who's feeling down on themselves, go listen to Sons of Man on the new album, Rebirth, on the track Kins. Pull you out of any mood and make you feel happy.
Oh, yeah, man. Check out that Redeem, too. And the Spark.
And the Spark. Don't worry, sir. I'll be posting all that, sir, when I post this interview.
Thank you, man. You know, like you said, man, I hope somebody do hear this and it can direct them into a positive direction or a positive light, you know, uplifting it. That's what it is we need these days, is love, we need care, you know, we need upliftment, you know, we need, you know, social, like actually talking to one another and not just, you know,
exactly.
Conversation, man, face to face, you know.
None of this texting
stuff.
Let
me see what you're talking about. Yeah, it's like, you know, let me talk to you, man, let me see what's happening. You know, that's where I came from, man. If I say I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock, and I don't have my cell or my pager on me or whatever at those times, I got to be there at 7 o'clock. And you know, if you show up, I show up and you're not there, I can't get in touch with you. I got to call your mom's crib.
Yeah.
You know. And if you're not there, then I might give you 15, 20 minutes, and then I'm out of there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be mad as shit when I see you next time. Like, yo, you wasted my time. You made me do it. But that's just the reason. reality, man, you know, so, yeah, we just got to get back to, you know, being a human being, man.
That's very true.
You know, we all got love in us, man. We born with it. Enough to fill up a whole house individually, so. Just got to tap into that more, and that's my message, you know.
Well, you definitely spread a very good message today on this interview, sir. I think that's the perfect way to end this, too. Is there anything that you'd like to plug in before I let you go, Prodigal Son?
Oh, yeah, just check me out on, you know, Prodigal Son for real at Facebook, you know, hashtag Prodigal Son at Twitter, you know, at Prodigal Son at, hashtag Prodigal Son on Instagram and at Prodigal Son on Twitter, you know, that's PRODIGALSUNN, for those that don't know. And I'd just like to thank everybody out there, man, for the years of support. You know, supporting this Prodigal Son, El Razor, 62nd of Sash, Philip Priest, and the whole Son team, and the Whoop, the whole family, man. So make sure y'all check out that movie coming out on Hulu. That's popping off, coming up.
An American Sega.
That's it, baby. Using the screenplay. And if you ain't check out the documentary on Showtime, check it out. You might catch me in there. Little 18-year-old, 19-year-old P-Son with the afro.
I'll be checking for that tonight, sir, when I watch it. Oh, you're most welcome, Prodigal,
sir. Yeah, I'm in there. Let's keep this going, man. You know, I got some more stuff, so I'm sure I'll be back up there talking to you again.
You're most welcome to come back anytime, my G. If I don't contact you first, then you probably contact me first. But I'll probably contact you first.
That's it. Appreciate it, Kango. Yeah, man.
This is another classic interview from the Desk Low, featuring a very humble soul, featuring Prodigal Son.
Peace.
I'm just stopped the recording, sir, and I will be...